except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Jesus, when he first came preaching out of the wilderness, after having been tempted and tried for 40 days and 40 nights, opened his mouth and said, the kingdom of God is near, therefore repent and believe the kingdom. What can be more foundational and basic in the Christian faith, beginning with the letter R, than repent? John Wesley took this text, repent ye and believe the gospel. It's the text for several sermons. It's the text for the way to the kingdom, in which he was talking to unbelievers and saying, repent and believe the gospel as the gate into the Christian faith. He preached this sermon on the repentance of believers, and was also the same text there, repent and believe the gospel. He used this text 190 times in his preaching life between 1742 and 1790. It was the text of his favorite sermon, The Way to the Kingdom. He preached it over and over again. It was one of his favorite messages. I have some messages like that that I like to preach over and over again. It was the text for the message he preached on his father's tombstone when the church at Epworth was closed to him, and he said they couldn't preach there anymore. He went out to the graveyard and stood on his father's tombstone and said, my family owns this property, and nobody can keep me from preaching here. And he preached to thousands out in the graveyard on this text, repent and believe the gospel. In fact, he preached there for a week every evening, but this was the first message of that series of sermons. He preached it often thereafter throughout his ministry. Repent means more than we sometimes think it means. It doesn't mean just feeling sorry or having remorse or being contrite. It's more than that. We're having an object lesson in our nation today about repentance and contrition. Our president has confessed that he's sinned. He's admitted that he's had an illicit wrong relationship with a young woman. But many of us say he's admitting it because it can be proved. He's admitting only what we already know. He's not showing sufficient contrition in his confession and his repentance. It doesn't mean being sorry that you got caught. Repentance means more than that. It's not being sorry that we acted the way we did, or being sorry that we got caught. Repentance means change. It means change, not just remorse, not just contrition. The Bible talks about repentance as meaning you're walking down the pathway and you're going one direction and you're headed that way, and all of a sudden God taps you on the shoulder and you stop and you turn and you go the different direction. That's repentance. It's change. It's not just being sorry or remorseful or contrite. It means a change in behavior. It means a fruit of repentance is necessary when we repent. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus looked at him and said, keep the commandments. And he said, I've done that from my youth up. And Jesus looked into his heart and he said, go and sell what you have and follow me. And the young man was rich, had many things. And the Bible says he hung his head in remorse and he went away sorrowfully. He felt bad. He felt remorse. He felt contrition. But he kept on going the way of the world. He had no fruit of repentance. And Jesus saw him go with sorrow. But King David, on the other hand, standing on his roof one night, overlooking the city, he saw Bathsheba taking her bath. And he looked at her, he desired her, he lusted after her. He sent for her and she came because he was the king. He committed adultery with her. They conceived a baby. He sent for her husband, who was out fighting the battles, to come back for leave. And he asked him, how are things going, Uriah? And he told him about how the battle was progressing. And he says, that's fine. Now go home to your wife and sleep with her. But Uriah said, no, I can't do that. I can't go home and sleep with my wife, enjoy the comforts of home, and a sexual relationship with my wife while my troops are out there in the battle fighting. I'll go back to them. David wouldn't let him go. So he slept on the steps of the palace. David tried to get him drunk so he'd go home and be with his wife so David could say, it's your child, not mine. But Uriah refused. So David called the general and said, take Uriah back to the battle. Attack the fortress. And at the heat of the battle, draw everybody back but leave Uriah on the front lines. And that's what happened. And Uriah was killed. He was murdered by David. Not long after that, the prophet Nathan came to David and told him a story. He told him a story about a rich man who had many sheep. And guests came and he didn't kill one of his sheep, but he went to his poor neighbor who had only one little pet lamb. And he took that lamb and he killed it and he had a banquet for his guest. And David was incensed. He was infuriated. He said, that evil person who'd do a thing like that should die. And Nathan stuck his bony prophet finger in David's face and he said, thou art the man because of what you did with Bathsheba and Uriah. And you know what David did? The Bible says David repented. He felt sorry. He felt remorse. But he turned and he changed. And he became what the Bible says is a man after God's own heart. He was a sinner. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But he repented and he changed. He tried to be obedient to God. Repent. Repent. Repentance means change. Turn around. Repentance also means, according to John Wesley, self-understanding, self-knowledge. It's in the notes, self-knowledge. According to Wesley, repentance means seeing yourself as God sees you. Seeing the sin and the rebelliousness that's there, of which we're unaware unless God reveals it to us. That's repentance. Seeing our unworthiness, seeing our rebellious nature against God, seeing the sin that dwells within and realizing we are utterly helpless in its grip. Alcoholics Anonymous insists that people come to that point before they can really begin their cure. To come to repentance and a self-knowledge that we are utterly unable of our own strength to be what we want to be. Seeing yourself as God sees it. This is true of unbelievers. You're walking down a direction. You're unaware of God. You don't care about God. You don't care about other people. You only care about yourself, most of us. Headed that direction. And when we're living in sin and selfishness, unaware of the gospel, living in direct rebellion against God and God's will in your life, are you that way? Repentance and faith is the gate of religion. The gate of a personal relationship to the living Lord. Repentance. The doorway of the Christian life. It is the way to the kingdom, which was John Wesley's favorite sermon. Who needs to repent? It's not a very popular message for our day because we don't think of ourselves as sinners. We're just doing what we want to do. Who needs to repent? You do. If you're living a life unaware of God's grace and His power and love for you. You do, because unless you repent, you'll perish. If you're lost, you must repent and turn and believe the gospel. God taps you on the shoulder and calls you to repent, to change, to turn. God shows you your need for repentance. But you know, it's wonderful that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, Romans says. It's not His anger. It's not His wrath that usually leads people to repentance and change. It's the goodness of God. And it's wonderful that that's true because apart from His goodness, apart from God's grace, if you saw yourself as the sinner you are, as God knows you are, if you saw your utter despair and hopeless position outside of His grace, if you understood that, you would go insane out of despair. But if you see that in the context of His love, in the context of His gospel, in the context of His mercy and His grace, you can survive seeing yourself as you really are in the hopelessness of your sinful condition. You need to repent.